You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about El Clásico, and we try to figure out what is Barcelona going to do? Right? How are they going to figure out the mess that they have on their hands? And we talk about Drake being involved again in soccer. For some reason, Drake is always a part of the Cooligans show. He makes it in there somehow.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Haley Rosso of Everton from the FAWSL, and we have a great conversation about her being a paramedic and how trash Vegemite is. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go. Let's go. Let's do this.
What are we doing? Where are we going? Right to
onward,
the ears.
Onward and upward. We're going to the future, Alexis.
I booze light year.
Okay. A booze light year sounds like my kind of guy. Yeah. Okay.
Buddy, you should see what comes out of the button on his arm. It's amazing.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Uh-huh, and I'm Alexis.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Guerrero. So I'll give you the last thing too.
what is that? Hey, how's it going, everybody? Yes, we're excited about today's show. Yes, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen.
That's right. And also the gulliest.
Correct. It's two things. Things can be two things, Alexis.
Is that oh. Man.
Exactly. We're excited about today's show. There's obviously a lot to discuss. We have an incredible guest today. We have our first Women's Super League player, Haley Rosso of Everton Football Club, is joining us. Oh,
can
my
you
goodness.
Guess? Christian's excited. If you're watching, you're seeing a whole lot of Everton, right? On Christian.
All right. So I got my whole I'm wearing a full kit.
Yeah, yep. Dude, you're ODing on Toffee right now, yo. He's all toffeed out.
She'll be joining us a little bit later, but let's start today with talking about El Clásico. Happened last weekend. Barcelona loses this game 3-1.
Nah, they didn't just lose. They got smacked around.
I
did, and I was kind of excited to say it, even though I'm not really a fan of either club. But let me tell you something. It is what is Messi even there? I feel like Messi left the team, but he's still physically playing there.
No, a lot of people were saying this online, but he's basically like, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
thing. You know, that's the energy he is bringing.
Gonna miss me when I'm gone, and in fact, you might miss me right now. You know,
because you know what, mentally, I'm checked out. Okay. Bruh.
In fact, I see the team all the way over there, and I'm all the way over here because I really just don't give up anymore. Okay.
No, look, he—I would say he looked like he was trying. I'm not going to take anything away from him. There, he was getting fouled like he was trying. So Real Madrid definitely noticed him on the pitch and took him as seriously as possible.
That's how you take him out. You either foul him real hard, and then when you're on the ground, you got to whisper in his ear, "They don't really love you."
Yeah. Come to us. Madrid will take care of you.
Yo, that would be wild. Messi suiting up for Real Madrid.
Oh my goodness. No, but the one thing, look, in you know, obviously this is the first El Clásico since the purge of Barcelona, uh-huh. right?
Since they got colonized.
Getting rid of Luis Suarez, Ivan Rakitic, a couple other players, but the fact that this team they look completely different. And then the
it feels different.
Well, like Ansu Fati did score, but the
youngest player in, was it La Liga or Barcelona history?
I think Barcelona history, like pretty much every category, like in La Liga and in Champions League, he's the youngest scorer, and he is a great player.
Incredible.
And he will be a superstar and hopefully the face of Barcelona.
You know, but what he's doing? He's doing that thing that sometimes kids do when their parents are getting divorced, where they like they try to show off and be like, if they focus on me, you know.
They'll stay together because they see how happy I am.
Homie's just tap dancing right now, hoping, like, look. Right? Look, kids got moves.
This family's beautiful. This is great. So having the threat of, like, even before, right, when it was Neymar, Suarez, and Messi, like, you have to double team each of those guys, and that is pretty much missing, right? So that's... It's not the same, right? And Messi is playing this, you know, he does the same thing for like Argentina, where he's, I guess, false nine kind of thing, where he's literally just all over the pitch wherever they sort of need him. And Ansu Fati's up front doing a lot, like with the responsibility of like, to see who's gonna score.
Mom, Dad, like, look at me, I'm trying to score here. look what I can do, you know.
And it's not the same, like tactically they just look so different, and they're just not, they're like they're a shark with teeth missing. That's what Barcelona is right now.
Ronald Koeman is doing what everyone other than like Pep would do, which is to say like, no, Messi, you have to fit in my system. Not fam, you have Messi. You build a system around Messi. My only fear is he done? If he goes, he's 30, what, 4, right? He's about to be 34. If he goes an entire season without playing well or having the drive and determination to play well, is he too old to be able to turn that back on?
Bro, don't you dare talk about future NYCFC superstar Lionel Messi in that way. He's going to be great. He's going to be great forever.
Right.
he will retire 60, 65 years old. That's my presumption.
And people are going to be saying, no, don't retire.
But look, if you look at the table right now, Barcelona is currently 12th place. It feels uncomfortable at that point, right? Like, it's just like
Everton is a better club than Barcelona at this moment.
Yeah, and Ronald Koeman was a coach for both of those teams.
Uh-huh. So, and it ruined both of those teams.
Yeah, Koeman's seasons there were not great. So I expect kind of more of the same. Just mid-table Barcelona. That's kind of the most he has to offer. So we'll see. But Real Madrid did play very, very well in this game. They look like the favorites again, I think, to win La Liga. I think Barcelona is going through too much to even. It feels like maybe a Champions League spot is the best they could sort of get this time around.
I mean, it still is Barcelona and it still is La Liga. So they still have the ability to, I don't think, run the table, but they do have the ability. I mean, they're still one of the top clubs, right? It feels like there's your top three or four and then everyone else when it comes to La Liga. And I still consider them one of your top four. Real Sociedad is playing incredibly well, right? Atletico Madrid, you never want to count out, right? When you have these different clubs, like there's clearly a lot of skill. Barcelona, you still have to consider to be one of the top. I don't know if they're going to win the league. And I think you're right. I think Champions League, they're the new Arsenal, brother. Like, we got fourth. Have a parade, baby. You know what I mean? And that's from an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, yeah. And literally the parade just goes into Manchester and drops off Lionel Messi. So
it's them just pulling up in front of Messi's house, trying to tell you I'm sorry.
Okay. Just a little ballad.
Don't leave. I don't know if you saw this. We shared this. I think we retweeted it. But Jermaine Defoe, who's been on a lot of clubs, right? He was a guest on Peter Crouch's show, and he asked him about his time at Toronto FC, which I'm sure you remember, 19 appearances, and he was like, goodbye, that was it for me.
Peace out, y'all.
Scored 11 goals. I mean, the kid did his thing, but then he peaced out. But then after that, they went ahead and they got, you know, Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore, Javinko. They won a couple of trophies, a couple of awards, so they're fine. But what was the story around the transfer? And Jermaine Defoe gives up the info that Drake, who at the time was an ambassador for the club, called him and was like, yo, fam, you got to come. When Drake calls you, you got to go, right?
You got to go. You go, whether it's a party, whether it's joining a football club. Uh-huh. You got to say yes to that. But that was a one. I didn't know that Drake was an ambassador to Toronto FC. Is he still an ambassador?
He's technically, I think, paid by MLSE, which is the company that owns Toronto Raptors and Toronto FC. And okay. I believe they also own the Argonauts. I'm not sure about that, but that's I believe right. they do.
The Canadian football team. Yeah. So, yeah.
Which I don't know what an Argonaut is. I'm also not Googling it. You know what I mean? I'm just going to go on.
So, Jermaine Defoe is on Peter Crouch's show. But the fact that Toronto FC has this as a tool to be able to recruit players is
a lot
incredible.
Of Drake haters are very happy you use that word. I agree with you. Like,
I should have said resource, but you know what I mean. Okay.
Exactly. Like, if Drake calls you and he was like, fam, you got to sign here. Like, I personally think Arsenal could use this, right? who's the most popping from North London? Get this guy in to make the phone calls, or this lady in to make the phone calls for your club, because Jermaine Defoe moved to Canada because Drake was like, yo, I'll take you to dinner. And then when he got there, he's like, the guy's never there. He yeah, didn't that, get to see him at all.
That's the funniest thing, is that he never saw Drake ever. Which is, he's always in America. He's out. He did his job.
Yeah.
He trapped you. He's like, oh, I got him. And then he left you in snowy Toronto. But the fact that I love that this is a, for MLS, MLS has to do what it has to do to try to get some superstars. So I love that we know this story, but imagine other stories. How did David Beckham get here? How did Wayne Rooney get here? Like, there must have been so many people involved
the major signings, right?
The major signings. So there must be these incredible stories. Like, you could probably write a book just on designated players.
Who would it take to get you to move to a different country and sign for a, at the time, certainly a league not at the same standard that you're in?
I don't know. Maybe
if El Alfa calls you and he was like, dog, you got to come do your show from the Dominican Republic.
Just like it would have to be who was like a... who did I have a crush on as a teenager? Do you know what I mean? Like, if Jennifer Lopez called me to join some team or something like that, like that's
put it out there. If Jennifer Lopez calls and says you need to rob a bank, I'll be like, I'll help you. I just need to be around the situation.
Yeah, I'm like, but I'm thinking of even the teams. As far as like the players that didn't work out, like there must be some great stories there. Like who convinced Chicharito to come here? You know what I mean?
Right. Like, probably Becky G, right? She knows legit. She's like, I got this, Bobby.
Okay,
trust me.
I'll do what I gotta do. No, it's just incredible. I love that. I love that he shared that. And even
I bet Wale called Rooney, and Rooney's like, who are you, mate? Never heard of you, mate.
He's like, yo, look me up on Spotify.
You a rapper? Whoa.
Does Wayne Rooney listen to rap?
No,
right.
Wayne Rooney sounds like he only listens to like ASMR. You know what I mean? I can't imagine him actually listening to music, like bopping to something. You know?
Yeah, he seems like even as a teenager, he was listening to like just real like oldies, 60s, just like stuff.
Or like those, remember those old tapes that would like give you confidence and all that, that people used to listen to while you slept? You're like, you're gonna be all right, mate. It's just his voice. You're doing great, mate. No one thinks you're ugly or bald, mate.
I would love to hear Wayne Rooney's audiobook. That would be great.
Just his own self-help audiobook.
I get that he's trying to encourage me, but I'll be honest, I don't understand a word he's saying.
I think he was eating through most of this. No, that's just how he talks.
Oh, Darby County's finest.
player coach, folks.
Haley Russell will be with us in just a moment. A couple things to discuss before we get to Haley. Let's real quick. Actually, I just saw this transfer rumors that Jack Wilshere of West Ham, formerly of Arsenal. Yeah. Arsenal, is he a legend at Arsenal? I mean,
Certainly at the youth ranks. I mean, look, he won an FA Cup, right? And probably most known for smoking cigarettes in the shower. But still, I mean, legend.
Legendary for a litany of reasons. Uh-huh. But that he might come to MLS.
Yeah, clearly his career at the top flight in England is done. Still an incredible player. Still seems like he has that skill. He's only 28 years old.
Yeah, he's a kid.
Right? Coming to MLS now would be a great opportunity for him. He's still kind of at the peak. He's free. He's on a free transfer, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see what team has a bunch of injuries and needs a midfielder. Come on, NYCFC.
Okay, it might be an option. Who knows? Okay,
You have Pep Guardiola make the phone call. He's thinking, oh my god, am I going to get signed by City? And they're like, slow down. Okay, a city. Okay,
okay, City's in the name. You were close. Let's talk about the Premier League a little bit. And last weekend, Everton, the Invincibles, I got them for five matches of invincibility.
How did it feel though?
Felt pretty great. Okay. Really just like, one 18th of the Arsenal's invincible season. So right. Pretty good. I'll take it. Not bad.
As an Everton fan, you're like, good enough for me. Thanks for the run, boys.
Where's our special trophy?
Come on, Amazon, make the documentary.
they lost to Southampton. Not great. Not a great game.
They got worked over by Southampton. I was trying to figure out what is it that Southampton sort of exposed. I was watching it and being like, Alan is there. James Rodriguez seemed like he was kind of out of it. But
Gylfi Sigurdsson and Alex Iwobi were the problem in this match. Obviously, not having Richarlison because he got the red card in the previous game. And that's another thing, man. We've mentioned this on the show before, but what is it with the Premier League giving an automatic 3-match suspension for a red card, for a direct red card? That it just seems so egregious. Yeah. And in times like this, maybe have the rule for everybody else besides Everton. That's all I'm saying. Because
it seems fair. Now that you say it out loud, we don't have a bench. If you wrote it down, maybe it seems rough. But now that you said it out loud, I'm like, you know what? The guy's got a point.
Consider it, because Lucas Digne also gets a red card, and he really did not mean to do this. And
it doesn't matter. He rode a dude's ankle for 3 yards.
He's trying to get away and put his hands up, but yes, he steps on the play. And I get it. I understand why you give him the red card.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense. A 1-match ban, and then get the kid back out there. What is it with these three? He didn't mean to do it.
Look how fast the Brooklyn accent comes out when you're trying to finesse. Thank you, Christian, for proving my point. That's why I always speak in this tone, because I'm constantly trying to finesse. I will say, there should be some sort of appeal process, something you could do to be like, look, guys, he didn't be like, he wasn't like stomping on the dude's ankle. He tried to get out of it. Next thing you know, he's on a magic carpet ride for a little bit.
He's surfing on this guy's ankle. I get it.
Well, that wasn't planned, but here we are, If this was Jackass, they'd get more money for that episode. So, right? I mean, what are we talking here? At the end of the day, there should be something where you could say like, this wasn't meant to happen. This wasn't an egregious act.
I heard that they will appeal this. So we're recording this before we get any answers on that. I hope I hope it's not a 3-match ban. I mean, you understand Richarlison's the tackle on Thiago, that I understand. Fine. I mean, it was a reckless challenge, but it's just this rule of direct red cards leads to a 3-match ban. It seems pretty excessive. Even even two, I would be like, all right, I kind of understand, but three is just
coming
crazy.
Up towards the end of the season too. This could really change an entire. This could change the whole table, yeah. Right? So you just gotta watch out. I guess don't ride people's ankles. Speaking of Everton, we've got Haley Rasa when we get back right after this. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Gully Squad out in full force.
Out. I mean, you mean in full force. We are staying inside.
We are outdoors spreading this disease.
That's what we do, Gully Squad. We cough in everyone's mouths,
but
dude.
We're spreading gulliness, all right? None of that COVID nonsense.
Nah, dude. We're spreading COVID 69.
Okay. That's the fun one.
Yeah, dude. You didn't think you'd want it in the beginning, but when you get it, you're like, you know what? It's kind of fun.
So, yes, shout out to Gully Squad. And, for people who help support the show, help us put out more content. We've been doing a lot more stuff, especially on live streaming. They've been a part of it as well. We've been doing stuff on Twitch. It's been really, really fun. Even though, we're stuck at home, we can still do some fun stuff and give, whether it's exclusive content, a dope Slack channel. We're still putting out great work, and that's all because of Gully Squad.
Absolutely, and they support us, and we want to make sure that's we give them back some cool content, and also we want to make sure we find other people that want to come hang out in the Slack channel, because so far it is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. So if you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It's right there on the menu. It's at the top. It is at the bottom. Very visible, easy to find. And it's a great community. And there's also great perks, obviously. The Gully Squad was invited to our birthday party. And how lit was that? I mean, they got to hang out with... Who are some of the folks they got to hang out with, Alexis?
I mean, it was a wild time that I'm kind of forgetting that because I drank so heavily. But we had Sal Volcano of the Impractical Jokers come through.
That's right.
Okay? The Impractical Jokers.
We had Alexi Lalas come through, who some say is a kind of a clown. Right.
Yeah. See, he's a less practical joker. He also serenaded us right with a guitar. Ellie Menjum of Derby Days and Copa 90 fame. Zach Valentin, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle. Yes. I mean,
everybody was there. It was super, super fun. So those are some of the cool perks that come with being in Gully Squad, and we try to give everybody a really fun and unique experience that you may not be able to get everywhere else. If you're just a casual soccer fan, so feel free to join. You can subscribe at whatever level and whatever you want to give every month, and there's different perks for the different levels as well. So make sure go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and come aboard.
Toot toot. That's right, baby. We're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and our guest is here, and Christian couldn't be more excited. Our first Everton player.
Yes.
On our show.
I'm absolutely thrilled. I'm stoked.
Only you had some Everton gear to put up around.
People could at least be aware that, I've definitely seen a couple Everton matches, but we'll get there. I'm absolutely stoked for today's guest, Alexis.
This is huge. I mean, you may remember her from your Portland Thorns. You probably, if you're watching in Australia, you remember her from Brisbane Roar and a place called Canberra. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Canberra. Maybe you remember her from Washington Spirit. Maybe you remember her from being Christian's favorite Everton player. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, and if you are, pull aside, put that bad boy in park, and put your hands together for the one, the only, the Matilda, Haley Rasa, everybody.
Haley, what's up?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you guys?
Not bad at all.
Very, very much excited. Thank you so much for doing this. Let's start. Yes, I am an Everton fan. I'm excited to have you on the show. It's been great, especially the last year or so. When it's so much easier to watch the Women's Super League games, right? That makes it so much more enjoyable, especially this season. They've been on NBC, so we can watch them here in the States. What has been the experience like? It feels like this year is obviously for all footballers, it is a strange year, but there seems like something unique happening in women's football, where it seems like everybody, you know, we saw the ratings with NWSL and how those were up, and now that the game is much more accessible to viewers, what's it like this year trying to figure out how to be a footballer and still grow the game at the same time?
Yeah, it's a crazy year, as you said, COVID. But I'm really enjoying it over here. It's great. Like you said, it's awesome that you guys can watch the games over there. It's the same for my family back in Australia. They've got really good access to being able to watch the games. And like you said, too, with the NWSLs, I think I saw on Twitter, like, they were getting massive views. So the women's game is growing, and I think it's so important, especially in a year like this where fans can't come out and watch us play.
Wow. I mean, you know, one of my favorite things about this interview so far is that we could say soccer, all right, because you're Australian, and that's what you call it, too. Like, we don't have to pretend with this whole football thing, okay?
But do you know what? While I've been here, every time I talk about it, I'm like, football, footy. But I think it's just in my head because they're right? all saying that.
Because you do the same thing that happens to us, where it's like, if we say soccer, they're like, oh, this person knows nothing about the sport all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Because we said a word they invented. How dare we? What's, like, the main difference between, because I've never spoken to someone who's played on three different continents, like, what's the main difference between the style of the game when you were in your hometown club, Brisbane Roar, I hope I said Brisbane correctly, then playing for NWSL and now in the FAWSL? Like, what are the main differences between the three? Like, fans that are trying to learn a little bit more about women's soccer, like, what would you say is the difference between the three leagues?
So I think for me, going Australia, America, the UK, the jump from Australia to America was quite different. I think it's just a lot more professional overseas. I think Australia still has a little way to go. It's a good league, and, you know, it's really nice representing your hometown and playing in your home country. But I just think that there's still a little bit more that it can develop. Going to America was great. There are a bunch of athletes over there. I feel like they're all just, you know, very fit, very strong. And coming to the UK, I think the game's very physical over here, and it's a little bit more technical. So I feel like I can brush up on my skills a little bit more and kind of just test myself in a new environment, which is nice, because I was in America for 5 years, which when I look back on it was a pretty long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of your time in America, what the hell was Washington Spirit thinking waving you? When you look back,
I still ask myself that question. Hey.
When you look back at that, you're like, what a screwed up organization. No, like, when you look at that, was that, because you've been through some moments, right? You've had that pretty horrific back injury and getting waved, like, are those moments, like, tell us what goes through Haley Rosso's head? Are you like, yo, that's it, like, I'm gonna go be a paramedic, I think I heard you want to be, or you're studying to be, or you're like, yo, I'm gonna prove them all wrong, like,
I literally initially I thought, oh, I'm just never gonna play soccer again, but I think I was just being dramatic.
I mean, it was dramatic. I mean, don't
you
take anything away from
all
me.
The right, yeah, you had all the right to be dramatic.
I was thinking that, like, as soon as it happened, I just thought, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to go back to Australia. There's no league on at the moment. Like literally I have nothing to do. That was my first initial thought. And then within 24 hours, the Portland Thorns picked me up off that waiver list. And then that was, like, straight away when I was, like, heading over there, I'm like, oh, I'm going to prove them so wrong. And I just, like, wanted to go there and perform well and prove that I was, you know, worth having on a team.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And Alexis did mention the back injury. I mean, that was it was obviously scary. I'm sure it was an incredibly, like, scary time of your life. But the one thing that I knew that was pretty awesome was that the Portland community, the Portland Thorns, the Timbers, really they came together to show a lot of support for you. What did it feel like to you know, and how much did it help you recover?
Yeah, it actually gives me goosebumps thinking about it, because they were incredible, and I was obviously going through a really tough time being stuck in DC of all places as well, in hospital, in that rehabilitation hospital. So to get all the love that I did from them, really from just everybody, it was amazing. I don't know if you've seen the video where they're all, like, chanting for me in the game, but they're amazing. And I think, you know, all those little things kind of helped me and pushed me and drove me to get through it.
When you look at the landscape of sort of how your career progressed, to be in a place where all of a sudden you're wildly beloved and you start to come back, when you start to score again, because if there's one thing we know about Haley Russell is you get buckets, okay? I mean, you know what I mean? You out here getting
I try.
Right, you're succeeding. I don't know about this crying thing, right? I try to lose weight. I don't know if I succeed at it. Right? You out here getting buckets without even trying. Like, when that happens in your head, are you like, did it, got him? You know what I mean? Like, are you like, yeah, or you feel like, wow, thank you so much. Or you're like, yo, this is what I wanted. Like, this is what I worked so hard for. Like, where are you at in your head?
I think I'm a bit like that. It's obviously I go out there and that's what I want to do. I want to score goals. I'm a striker. And, you know, coming back from some things that I've done, like my injury, getting waived, I want to go out there and even like playing against Spirit. Like before the game, I'm thinking, oh, I want to score so bad. It's just like a bit of a mentality I have about proving people wrong and, you know, proving that I'm determined enough to get through things. And to my comeback game after my back injury, I scored in that game coming back. And for me, that was the moment where I was just like, wow, I can't believe my return game is this like good. Like I would have dreamt that it would have been like that. And it was that good. So
yeah, you just go, you're like, I'm invincible. Yeah, nothing can take
you down. Yeah. You broke my vertebrae, not my scoring boots. You can't stop Haley Russell.
And let's talk a little bit about Everton. I mean, I got into, watching Everton because the American players that were on the team, right? That Tim Howard, that like Landon Donovan. And then I started paying attention to the women's team as well. And seeing familiar faces is great. I'm watching you there. It's awesome. What is the, you know, not necessarily the difference in support, because it's difficult to compare the Portland Thorns support to almost any club in the world,
especially during COVID.
it is quite unique, but being an Evertonian and being there, how fun is it just to be at the club and playing well? You guys are in second place, undefeated. What's it like being a part of such a successful team?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like you said, it's hard to compare or know what it's actually like when you don't have any fans at the game. But I've definitely felt the love from the fans, you know, online. And there's a really good backing here. But I think just being a part of such a big club is amazing. The facilities, the staff, the backroom, the players. Just coming over here, I haven't been here for long, but my experience has been great so far. And then on the field, we're performing well as well. So I hope that we continue with that.
They have a lot of experience with famous Australians, obviously with Tim Cahill having played for Everton. So when you got there, were they like, we know Vegemite, we got it?
I wish they were like that, but they're all like, what is that stuff you're eating?
Because like, it's disgusting, Haley.
It's not.
It's why.
I have a little travel one, which I take around with me everywhere. And every single time someone comments on it, I'm like, it's Vegemite. I'm Australian.
As soon as you open it, you get a couple extra seats on the bus, right? Because nobody wants to sit next to you.
It is a strange thing. I had it. The only time I had it was, you remember, there's an Australian comedian that lived here a long time. Her name is Kelly Festuca. She was like
Triple J and stuff in Australia.
My only Australian friend, you know. I'm right. And she had Vegemite. I had it once, and I'm like, this is, what is this?
Why do you do this to yourself?
Right. I think we're just like raised with it. It's just normal. Like for me, I could just like spoon it in my mouth. I don't even need it.
Was this only when you swore? Like, because when I was young and I swore,
no, it's not.
They made me eat hot sauce, and now I love hot sauce. So it turns out I swore a lot. But like,
you know, my mom used to do that to me as well.
Really, with the
chili
hot sauce?
The chili sauce. Yeah.
So do you like hot sauce now or chili sauce?
No, because I never got it because I never swore.
Oh. You know what? Now that there's no fans, we can hear you, Haley. I don't know if that's – maybe mom needs to send some chili sauce out to the Liverpool.
Yeah. I think that is an interesting part of the game. Now, you know, since there's no fans, you can hear the players. But I'm trying to pay attention to – I think in women's games, it feels like it's more polite as far as like the swearing. You don't hear it as much. I could be wrong. Maybe there's whispering. Maybe it's a little bit more concealed. But how,
using the ponytail to cover it up a little bit, muffle that, you know?
In general, since we're hearing it, how intense are matches as when it comes to trash talk?
I think people trash talk.
Yeah.
I think the women do it. Yeah. I just think it's just part of the game and people like to rile each other up. I always have a laugh with whoever I'm marking. You know, I usually have a chat to them in the game. I'm not really like trash talking or being rude, but I feel like I'm always having a chat to my opponent.
Is that your way of getting in their head though?
I don't know.
You're just saying stuff like, ref, "You sure you shut off the oven?" Makes... You know, you sure?
I don't know. I think like the ref makes a bad call sometimes. I'm like, "Oh, that was pretty bad, wasn't it?" They're like, "Yeah, it was pretty bad." I'm like,
"Yeah,
got a good day."
You literally just proved Christian's point. You just said it's more polite. You're having like a nice, nonchalant conversation.
Like sometimes people aren't nice, but I don't know.
I love just to think
white line fever.
I love to think that defenders think you're trying to get in their head, and they're like, "Yo, that Haley, dude, she's so manipulative. She's asking me about my, you know, my stock options."
Literally just trying to have a chat. Yeah.
Just a little catch up. That's all. That'd be good. So we have a bunch of questions from our supporters, the Gully Squad. That's our supporters group. And so we have I wanted to start with this one from Jaren, who is who's a Sounders fan. Well, I'm assuming a Rain fan as well, but it's just a very fair and valid question. He asked,
I could see from the look on Haley's face, she's like, next question.
Boo.
Skip.
No, he asked, what are the major differences between training and the facilities between NWSL and FAWSL, and what could each learn from each other?
Yeah, I don't know about learn from each other, but that's a tough one. I think the facility, I don't know, it's tough because Portland, I know, is a great club. They've got great facilities. And over here, our training pitch or pitches, they're incredible. It's so top-notch over here. You know, there are so many fields and they're really well-maintained and really well looked after. And again, with COVID, it's a little bit difficult because like you're kind of in a training and then you're out and there's a lot of rules. So it's still kind of hard for me to gauge what it's like, what it would be like in a real world. But no, I think it's quite similar, the professionalism from the NWSL to here, but I don't know. I think that this environment is really good from the staff, the medical facilities, the physios, gym, it's all really top notch.
It's good. It's just good to see the standard being raised so high and to equivalent to the men's side, because you see just by sort of like what you see on the internet and like on Twitter of like sometimes fans in the UK can really like be really shitty to women's footballers, right? Like you sort of see that, but it seems like the tide is very much turning when it comes to that.
Yeah, I do hope so. I think people are nasty no matter what. Someone always says something to say, but no, like we share the same facilities as the men, so obviously that's saying enough in itself that that women's football is coming a long way.
Absolutely. Right. This is from Ramerica, who's a Portland fan. And he said, I'll never forget when some drunk Portland and LAFC fans were trying to start shit outside the stadium. More rational people from both groups broke it up. And then Haley, who was injured at the time, hobbles around the corner on crutches asking, "Where's the fight?" Now... Not exactly a question, but yo, Haley, you trying to get on World Star?
You know what? I don't remember this.
I maybe politely inquired about what was going on, but
maybe you were saying like stop the fight.
It sounds like something I would do. I like am like a people watcher. Okay. Like if something's going on, like I'm there following it to see what's going on. I wasn't trying to get involved, but I probably was like, what's going on?
I thought you were like swinging a crutch, like who wants them?
That's actually so funny. I don't remember it, but it probably sounds like me.
Right. Yeah, Haley, you're the person in every fight video who you can hear in the background in the middle of the fight yelling, yo, they fighting, you know, like everyone knows it already, but you're just trying to get, you know what I mean? You want more excitement.
I'm usually far away. I'm far away, but I'm watching.
Okay. Yeah. Just binoculars.
Anything that's happening.
Just taking notes. We've talked about this before. I brought it up very quickly. You are studying to become a paramedic. Why? There's a pandemic. I would purposely be trying to stop touching people. You're out here trying to help people. What is it? Was this something that happened from your injury or your whole life you wanted to be a paramedic?
No, my whole life. Ever since I was really little, I wanted to be a paramedic, and kind of even when I got into football, soccer, nothing really deterred me from still wanting to do that post-career. So I just study part-time while playing. So I know that, you know, when I'm not playing anymore, I'll have that to fall back on, which I think is a pretty cool job.
Yeah. That well, cool. You know, I have a few friends that are paramedics, and I'm sure you've heard the stories and the things that you encounter being a paramedic. You are encountering people usually at some of the worst times of their life, right? And you have to like help them and help them very quickly. Is there something in you that is, there has to be a certain sense of fearlessness to be like, I'm going to swoop in and save the day?
Yeah, I don't know. I've always been like that, and I've always kind of liked helping people. And I have been out on some placements where, you know, I've just been with the paramedics treating the people. And I don't know, when, you know, somebody's at that point or injured or hurt or sick, I don't know, it's quite a nice feeling knowing that you're the person that's there or that can help them in some way.
Yeah, it is wild. I mean, that's got to be something in you. My wife is a nurse here in New York City. And like when somebody's like, I'm sick, I'm like, get out of my way. You know, she's very different. She's like, yeah, how can I help? And I'm like, wash your hands, baby girl. You know, like, I don't even want you touching me after, you know, like I'm just a different person, you know. Like when you got injured and you were put in the ambulance, were you like, hey, guys, you know, like this is so cool. Oh.
You know what? I wish I was. But the injury was so bad. I was just like on another planet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. But normally if I'm injured or whatever, I'm like loving it. Like, get me in the ambulance. This is so fun. Love hospitals.
They're like, oh, man, you have a splinter. You're like, no, but I just want to one trip around the block.
They call the ambulance.
Yeah. It's a paper cut, Haley.
And it's a little different in the States, you know, where the ambulance bill could be like $1,500. Okay. It's
America's bit.
Yeah. No, I got roofied once and I got to ride an ambulance. I don't remember it. And I got charged $3,000. And I'm like, yo, at least let me go for a free ride on an ambulance now. Like, let me remember it. You know what I mean? Strap me up to the stretcher, take me around a couple blocks. Let me get the feeling, you know? What are you looking at as far as your career? Because the way you play and the way you score, I feel like you're going to have an extremely long career. So what are you – you're hoping to become a paramedic full-time afterwards, or is this something that you think you're just going to dabble in? Oh, really?
No, yeah, full-time afterwards, but I don't know. I think initially I was like, oh, I'm not going to really play soccer for long, but now – you know, I'm kind of really enjoying myself and in a really good place. And then we've got the 2023 World Cup in Australia. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just like when I can to tick off the subjects that I can and get that degree done so that when I'm finished, then, yeah, just can be a full-time paramedic, hopefully.
Of course. Yeah. And we should talk a little bit about your international career. And then, yeah, the upcoming the World Cup is going to be just absolutely nuts, right? In Australia, like how excited are you to be able to host it and be there and even a little bit of like the growth of just the Matildas themselves and like just getting to see Sam Kerr at Chelsea and how are you guys kind of making an impact on the Women's Super League? You know, I'm almost curious, like, who's more underestimated, the Matildas, like Australians or Americans when it comes to the football knowledge and stuff like that?
Australians.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay. Got it.
For sure. No, I think us Aussies, we're kind of like underdogs, you know, but we kind of like that title. And I think, you know, we go into games and, you know, people in the past would have written us off, but now we're kind of really making a name for ourselves and the fans are really getting behind us. And with, for example, the Matildas coming over to Europe and playing, it just shows that we want to develop ourselves and better our game for when we're back with the national team. I think it will really help us. But having the World Cup on home soil is huge and we're all just like so looking forward to that.
See, right? it's so funny because, like, your general tone, even the name Matilda's seems so nice. And then you want to pitch. It's not that nice. You know what I mean? You're an extremely aggressive player, but in the sense that you're constantly going for your goal. Like, I heard you once say in an interview with Tim Cahill that you view yourself as sort of a warrior, right? Like, you're constantly going at 100%. Where does that come from? Is that just a way you've learned to play, or is it
the Vegemite that is really fueling you?
Should I be eating what I think is a fart in a glass, aka Vegemite? Would that make me more aggressive?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just been a mentality I've had. I've always been like that, but maybe you should try it.
I will. I will do it on this show. I promise you. We'll try Vegemite.
Please do. I'll send you some.
Yeah. We'll sort that out. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah,
I don't try it on the show. I don't think it's legal to be sold in the U.S., so maybe you will have to send it.
Yeah, I'll send it from over here. You know, they actually sell it in the stores over here in the U.K.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, it's so cool.
All right.
I know there's a pizza place in London that puts Vegemite on a pizza. I'm going to have to send you that name.
Oh, wow.
Next time you go out there.
Please do. Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to ask about was the your signature ribbon in your hair. It's always, whatever team you play for, it's always, usually the matching color. But we had Zarek Valentin on the show a couple months ago, and we spoke about that, the ribbon campaign and raising money for charity and things like that. Like, what is the was there something that started that, like, when it came to being like, you know you're much easier to spot knowing who has a ribbon on, but why was the exact purpose behind it?
My grandma actually buys them for me. She always matches them to my kit, so amazing. It's pretty cute. But back in the day, in all honesty, I used to wear a big, like, bright colored bow in my hair when I was, like, trialing for different teams when I was young, as a, like, well, they'll maybe remember me as the girl with the bow. So it kind of did start like that. And then it's since just kind of formed into something where my nan just always buys them for me and matches them to my jersey and makes sure I'm always sorted. And I kind of, it's just my trademark now, and I'm recognized for it. So I remember one time saying, oh, I think I'm going to drop the bow. And my family were like, no,
we'll disown you. Yeah, no.
Are you going to tell grandma?
Yeah.
You're going to break her heart.
Wouldn't I?
She's amazing. Like, I'll just keep these for myself.
All right. Thank you again to Haley Rosso of Everton Football Club for joining us on the show. Obviously, a huge, huge day for me. I know. Yeah. So I'm quite excited. So,
and yo, Christian, actually, I just realized something. Haley, you said you don't remember running around the corner for the fight. I think you were doing that as part of your paramedic training. Just in case anyone needed help.
Yeah.
I just realized it. So maybe,
like,
that's
somebody might have been injured and I maybe needed to help.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So that's part of extra credit. Yeah. Now that's less you have to pay for it.
She was going to be like, take my crutches. It'll be fine.
I'll walk.
You pretend you have a microphone. We got a 5'9" and a 1'2". I don't know what the code is.
But Haley, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
No.
Well, okay.
I've been thinking about it as well, and I've still got nothing.
Where can they follow you? Follow the Everton Women and watch the games on the Women. FA Player app.
Yep, watch the games. Haley Rosso.
There you go.
Follow.
Okay, yeah.
Put sweet. A bow in your hair when you watch the game. Have some respect.
Yeah.
For Nan.
I'm the one with the bow.
There
perfect,
you go.
Perfect. All right. Okay, Haley, thank you so much again. Everybody, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social media. Follow at Fubo Sports on all socials as well. And make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. All right, Haley, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Haley Rosso, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!